Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 1:02 p.m. and today is April 29th. I thought we'd kick off with eBay. The share pulled back really rather sharply yesterday, or right off the right after the close yesterday, and that was on the back of their announcement where they recorded a record quarter, but then gave some guidance that they didn't expect it to last. So this, I think, brings into rather sharp focus exactly what the big argument is right now. So on the one hand, we have people that expect a big bounce in spending. We've got consumers who have been saving a lot, and the personal savings rate is very high, and I think that is true right across the world, where people just didn't have the opportunity to go out and spend a lot of money, so they just have accumulated a lot of savings, and as social activities start to kick up again, then they'll start spending it down. So that's certainly one way of thinking about why we should continue to expect a further rebound in economic activity and retail activity, and a really quite considerable further extension of the bull market that we're seeing in equities. And obviously then that is a bearish argument for bonds, because it would represent, it would bring forward the time when bond yields should rise and interest rates should rise, and the normalization of monetary policy and tapering. So that's one of the primary reasons why we've had weakness in the bond markets over the last 8 or 9 months. Then, of course, there's the other side of that argument, and it is that we've already had a meaningful rebound, and that the precautionary savings that people have had are not going to be spent down, but in fact that this is part of a new trend of people holding more cash, and in deference to the risk that pandemics and other unforeseen circumstances might represent, and therefore that we should not expect a continuation of this trend of outsized spending. If that were the case, then we should anticipate that there will be a rebound in the bond price, because the need for continued and outsized availability of credit would be really quite necessary. And then, of course, the velocity of money, which is reported with a lag, and it's a quarterly lag, it really hasn't moved. So we have seen the rebound off the low in the first quarter, but since then we haven't had a meaningful rebound since the last time it was reported. And it was updated a month ago, and that would have represented the end of 2020. So what they mean by transitory is that they could last for a couple of years. And then when we think about the stock market, well, it had a bit of a wobble today. The S&P 500 was down in early trading and then recouped the decline to finish at new highs. So it is now clearing the 4,200 point level, and this continues to look like a bull market overall. We've had a very inert period of trading, and it looks like this is being resolved on the upside. It's natural to anticipate that we should see the surprises on the upside in a secular bull market, and this does remain a secular bull market. I do, however, want to highlight this chart, which I created today and I think is rather important. It depicts the 1,000-day moving average for the S&P 500, and there have been periods of time when it was overextended by anything up to 40%. And that was the case right ahead of the crash in 1987. And since then, there have been other occasions when it was overextended in the order of about 20 to 25%. And sometimes it reverted to the mean, and others it just went sideways. But then there was a period between about 1996 and 2000 when it was overextended, and we had very meaningless periods of time where it just went sideways. The big pullback was in 1998, and even then it didn't unwind even half of the overextension, and that was the widest overextension in a long time. Even the peak in 2000 wasn't quite as overextended. And then we can contrast this kind of trading that we had in the late 1980s all the way up to about 1996 with what we've seen so far in this trend. And we had the big pullback in the period of 2020, which is not at all dissimilar to the kind of pullback we had in 1987. We've had subsequently a significant rebound, and we now have an overextension of approximately 35%. So we know that we're overextended. There is absolutely no question that we don't have a short-term overbought condition. But the question is it going to continue? Well, we know where valuations are, and that would be the primary argument for arguing that we're not going to see additional significant upside. But it is worth considering that during the bubbly phase from about 1996 all the way through to the peak in 2000, the stock market more than doubled. So if one is buying at today's levels, then one would have to believe that we are in the bubbly phase. And there's rationale for thinking about why that might indeed be the case. Because interest rates are extremely low and they're likely to remain so. One thing, though, that is clear is that investors are beginning to price in the potential for inflation, but not in an aggressive manner. And certainly, we've seen with treasuries that I think the bond market is beginning to come around to the notion that the Federal Reserve is not going to raise interest rates and that they are going to wait until inflation is trending and that they're willing to tolerate higher inflationary pressures. And treasury yields have been selling off, or they've, I guess, treasury prices have been selling off in Asian and European trade, and then they recoup their losses in US trade. We've seen that now for a couple of days, but these tails on the candles suggest that there is demand starting to come through. And then we have to consider that we are 40 years into a bull market, and there are periods of time when you do get contractions. And when we look at the total return on bonds, then it's quite clear that we've had a profound bull market and that we've had a period of weakness, and it is trading below the trend mean, and that is quite similar to what we saw in 2013 and in 2016 and now in 2021. So the big question is, are we going to see an additional rebound similar to what we had in those following those periods where eventually prices went on to new highs, or will the price fail in the region of the trend mean and then subsequently move on to a new reaction low and sustain that? That would be the clear confirmation that the trend is in fact over. So we're still very early days, and there is still, in my view at least, clear scope that we are due a pause. We're due at least a pause in this downtrend and the potential for a reversionary rally. And I think that as long as the higher reaction lows are intact, then that's what we should anticipate. Of course, I may yet be proven completely wrong, and that's always a risk, but I think that when you see a consensus brewing where there is extraordinary bearishness about bonds, then generally speaking, it's usually been rather opportune to bet in the opposite direction. And there are people who have made their careers over the last 40 years, whether that is Lacy Hunt or Gary Shilling, by being bullish of bonds when no one else wanted them, and they've been right. So there's the potential that they'll look right for a while. Now, the reality is that for a secular bull market to end, then buying the dips has to fail. So when we see an additional rally, if it gets all the way back to the trend mean and fails there, well, then that will be clear confirmation that we're seeing resistance coming in at a lower level overall. It's really only a question of how much of a rally are we going to get, and we're just too early to make the clear determination about exactly which way these markets are going to go. One thing, of course, that's worth considering is that eBay is a relatively small company compared to those like Facebook. And Facebook has broken a trend that we've seen evolving over the last week. It has sustained the break. So it popped on the upside on its earnings today and gave up some of the decline and then finished close to the high of the day. When we didn't think about what Apple did or Amazon or Google or Microsoft for that matter, they popped on the upside and then gave up the advance, but not in a dynamic manner. So when we then think about, well, what are the potential outcomes here? I think we're still in a rotationary phase, and I think the mega caps are starting to attract attention again because they have the ability to turn in outsized earnings despite fears that they would not be able to do that. So that is certainly helping to support their values overall. Then we have the return to performance of the oil services sector. So this is the other side of the spectrum entirely. They've gone through a profound bear market, but now we're starting to see these companies finding support in the region of their respective trend means. West Texas Intermediate is now trading around $65. It was up another $10 in here today. When we look at the futures curve, then if we just start thinking about what the price is right now around the April through to June area next year, then it's still around the $60 area. And that's getting close to economic levels. So we're certainly starting to see economic activity starting to pick up in the oil sand or the shale oil sector. Then natural gas has rebounded in a pretty emphatic fashion from the region of the trend mean. It's been ranging now for most of the last few months, but it is at least steadying here from the trend mean, although pausing today in the region of the $3 level. It is likely, though, that the continued uptrend in UK natural gas, representative of European demand, is going to create greater demand for seaborne gas, which should be beneficial for the US market. So we can also think about the performance of the kinds of companies that provide the materials for shale drilling, like Silica Holdings. And it is bouncing really quite emphatically from the $10 area in here this week. So it's now looking like the downtrend for the oil services sector is over. We've had incredible consolidation. The number of companies has compressed considerably, and they still provide a necessary service, most particularly for the unconventional sector, where drilling is absolutely necessary to increase supply. We've also had a strong day on the lumber price, and it was up about 32, but closing at or in the region of its old high. So this has been a very emphatic rebound in the price, and it suggests that the supply limitations are not yet under control. When we then think about the Philadelphia Semiconductors Index, it has been pausing over the course of this last quarter, but it was well off its lows in here today. Of course, if there are supply bottlenecks and they can't keep up with demand, then it increases the supply or the price of the underlying goods, but perhaps not so great for the underlying companies. So if they can't increase the supply, they don't get to capture that margin. And Taiwan Semiconductor has been going sideways now since the beginning of February. It's unwound a good portion of its overextension relative to the trend mean. So as long as it's holding in this pattern, then this is still just a medium-term correction following what has been a really rather profound acceleration in 2020. Of course, it's not all roses. When we think about companies like Netflix, it absolutely needs to hold this $500 area. It was able to reverse its decline to finish in positive territory in here today. If it can follow through on the upside tomorrow, then that would certainly be beneficial. Then, of course, we have companies like Shopify, and these kinds of companies really epitomize the view that we're going to have a renewed focus on retail activity. The share popped on the upside yesterday, gave up some of the decline, or the advance in here today, excuse me. But I think investors will be watching to see if it can hold that big psychological $1,000 level. When we then think about what's going on around the world, well, this continued enthusiasm for assets is certainly helping to create demand for Indian assets. Even though the headlines are terrible, it's looking increasingly likely that they're coming towards the end of the major growth phase in their number of infections. So the Nifty index has popped to break the 3-month sequence of lower rally highs in here today. Of course, there is still some room for consolidation, and until the news trajectory starts to really change, then it's unlikely to accelerate from this trend, but at least it is holding up in a robust manner. Then the A-share market in China was in positive territory, and here today it continues to hold the region of the trend mean. I really find it interesting that the commonality between the IPO index and China is really rather similar. They've both been the destination for hot money flows over the course of the last year. And now the question for IPOs is, are they going to continue to hold this area? I think that I find myself feeling rather cautious. Even though we've continued to see that there is a lot of money floating around, the determination by central banks not to raise interest rates, and big spending plans being announced by governments, I still think that with these big overextensions that we have, that it's inevitable that they will be unwound eventually. But as long as we do not have downward dynamics, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. With the bond price selling off initially, then that weighed on gold. As bond prices rebounded, then gold rallied off its low in here today. So this link with bonds has not been broken. And I think gold does represent a high beta play on the bond market overall. So it is rather imperative that gold can sustain the move above the $1,850 level. It seems like you can't really talk about gold without talking about Bitcoin. But Bitcoin was in negative territory today, down about $1,500. It's encountering resistance in the region of the 50-day moving average. I did think that it was likely we're going to have a period of right-hand extension when I recorded the Big Picture long-term audio last Friday. And so far, that looks like it is unfolding. So it's likely we're going to have a range forming between about 50 and 55 with a bit of leeway on either side of that margin. Now, the big point, of course, is that we continue to see a lot of extraordinarily bullish forecasts being put out. So investors are still willing to tolerate the kind of volatility that Bitcoin is capable of. And there's also this holding view that with volatility, the only way that you can capture the upside is to remain in the market. So buy and hold is the prevailing attitude. And buy and hold always works in a bull market because you can sit through the volatility and you will be rewarded for taking the pain. But eventually, buying and holding will not work. And it is when people start to really experience pain that they sell en masse. So we have not seen that yet with Bitcoin, and we may not see it. And there are obviously the big potential catalysts out there of potentially an ETF, although what I think is most important to highlight is that this is no longer a consistent trend. So the imbalance between supply and demand is no longer evident in the same way that it had been all the way through the last year. And since that's the case, well, then we need to be more cautious. Now, of course, we have not seen any real evidence of selling pressure in the Ethereum market. It was down very marginally in here today, but it's only just a couple of dollars off its all-time high. And I would also hasten to highlight that Bitcoin has generally tended to peak before Ethereum. So if Bitcoin continues to trade lower, then it will take Ethereum with it. And as that occurs, there will be a knock-on effect for the entire cryptocurrency markets because they are tied together in a link in that you often have to use Bitcoin or Ethereum to buy the alternative coins. So there's obviously a chain link between them all in that regard. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.